my interview tonight with Kimberly Burr of the Green Valley Creek Restoration Group. Hi, Kimberly.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, this came to my notice about your group and your work you are doing in the Green Valley Creek. Well, we'll go into it deeper, but let's say it's not going along swimmingly, shall we say.
I think the creek's seen better days, yes. Yeah. You're right.
So could you tell us where the creek is, its watershed, where it goes? Can you describe the creek in those terms for everyone?
Sure. I can generally do that. I'm not a fisheries biologist or a scientist or by any stretch of the imagination. I've done a little restoration work. So basically, Green Valley Creek starts kind of on the slopes of the Bohemian Grove, West County, and it meanders quite a bit down through Grayton and Forestville, goes under Green Valley Road a couple times, and ends up meeting the Russian River in the town of Forestville.
That juncture, is there anything at that juncture? It's just a natural flow, or is it directed?
It's a creek with no dams on it to speak of. You know, it's about 14 to 16 miles of stream. Much of that is about this blue line stream, which means it's a fish-bearing, fish passage stream. It's very important to mention that. But at the mouth of the river, where it meets Russian River, it's just a natural opening.
So now, obviously, you mentioned the salmon, and obviously they are the top animal in that chain, in the food chain, in that stream. Can you explain the history of salmon in that stream? Somewhat, or?
Yeah, somewhat. I can try. Basically, I read a report recently that in 1966, the biologists that were doing the survey said that it was common to see coho salmon and steelhead in the creek. And this had been after logging occurred in the watershed in the 20s and again in the 50s. Mm-hmm. So there had been quite a bit of human destruction and practices and going on, but there were still, in 1966, there was still water. So that might account for some of the survival of the coho and the steelhead. There's also, and these are now federally and state listed species, which means they're just about to go extinct. Wow. But there are also other listed species. There's a California shrimp, kind of freshwater shrimp, and the California red-legged frog. I guess maybe when one species is really struggling, it does have, you can kind of expect that the watershed is not in good health, and other species are starting to show serious signs of decline and stress. And like you said, I think the coho and the salmon, steelhead, trout are kind of indicator species, maybe, what the biologists sometimes refer to them, or keystone species. So yeah, you're right. It's very important stream. The scientists say that it was the only stream in the whole Russian River Basin that maintained 3 years of coho salmon, which you need 3 years of good, healthy watershed conditions in order for the fish to complete their cycle. And Green Valley Creek was the only one, the last one to have those kinds of conditions. We think it's a really important creek. We love it. We're doing everything we can to make people aware of how important it is and how great a creek it is, and you know, how proud we should be that creek is in our neck of the woods, and we have an opportunity to sort of bring it back to life.
Indeed. And now, it seems last year it flooded a couple of times, didn't it? Has that had any ping? I know they had to reconstruct part of the creek over bridges and things.
Yes, yeah, I wasn't really a part of that effort. It was further upstream than we usually work on a restoration. But I know the road had a little bridge over the Green Valley Road, over Green Valley Creek, but it had become so impacted by gravels from somewhere upstream, kind of indicated that there was a source of this sediment and gravel and rock, and that, you know, maybe they need to look further upstream so this doesn't occur again, because it did cause quite a bit of traffic impacts, flooded some cropped land over there. And so, you know, money had to be devoted to that, an emergency, you know, situation. the flooding's natural. So right. we don't have any problem with the flooding. It's a very enriching event for the watershed. So that's a good thing. And we have kind of straightened out the creek a lot. We put in some, generally speaking, the people have put in berms and straightened out the creek and tried to control it. However, you know, it hasn't been necessarily the healthiest for the creek to have those sorts of things happen.
Right. In that area, it's a very, very high density wine grape growing area. It has come over, obviously, the last 30, 40 years has grown. And I'm sure there must be impacts, you know, as you were saying, upstream, you're getting impacts coming down. I imagine that's most probably some of the biggest impacts.
Yeah, a lot of the studies are showing that fine sediments are increasingly found in the creek. Normally, you see that associated with agriculture. Fortunately or unfortunately, we do have a lot of cultivated wine grapes, and it's pretty hilly. A lot of the watershed's very hilly, so when the redwoods and Doug fir forest, which are very dense and rich environments, taken down for whether it was orchards and now grapes, that does prevent a problem in terms of sedimentation of these habitats, really. That's one of the impacts, is definitely, you know, tilling on steep slopes without enough regard, I would say, for what's going off the property, the loss of soil, you know. I always thought farming was all about soil, but we see a lot of soil entering Green Valley Creek.
When you look at wineries, I don't see them contoured. I do see them coming down hills, a lot of them.
Yeah. Right. Well, I understand. And again, I'm not a farmer or a viticulturist, but I think they need to move the water off the property. And so they have drain tiles and ditches and stuff that really shoot water off the hillsides in a real unnatural fashion. And so that does accelerate velocities, and you end up getting a huge amount of deposition in these creeks, which, again, it'll fill up pools that the salmon really, really, really need for the summers, the hot summers. They need the pools. They need the cool waters. So it's kind of a double whammy, because when they shoot off water from their property, and it can be a homeowner too, it is not settling. It's not settling into the earth. And we would do well to figure out how to settle those flows and let them sink into the ground and feed not only us, but feed these creeks year-round.
Yeah, those practices aren't necessary for them. They're just doing their normal agricultural practices, basically.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that has to... Now, I know I read somewhere that, in fact, all the salmon are, in fact, hatchery salmon now coming up the creek. Is that correct?
I wish we had a fisheries biologist here to answer that one, Arnold. But I think that's basically correct. There probably are stray, wild. And wild is a word that, you know, has been defined in different ways. You know, there's still hope that ocean fish will find their way back into the Russian River and our tributaries. However, coho are being propagated and were rescued basically from extinction. And they came from Green Valley Creek, and I think some from Dutch Bill Creek, the last handful. And were basically treasured for their biological genetics and propagated. And they're carefully propagated. It's not the best thing in the world. I'm not a big fan of it, but I know that without that, Russian River would literally be dead. Wow. It would not have life like it has. And lots and lots of people, good people, lots and lots of public monies have gone into trying to solve this problem. And I've learned over the years, after spending many years trying to restore a small part of Green Valley Creek, it's laborious. It's hard. Yeah. We sweated, we lifted heavy things, we tried to keep the trees alive, we tried to shade the last pool that was shrinking before our eyes, we tried to take the sun. It is hard, hard, slow work. And even when you do it right, which is, you know, and there's no guarantee it's going to work, it doesn't work at all if you don't have water.
Right.
So I learned that the hard way. And we do need restoration, but I don't think that we can do that without really grappling with the amount of flows that we keep in the creek.
When was your group formed, and who formed it? What was this, a specific thing that caused it to be formed initially?
Well, it is kind of a old story, but there was a fellow named Cam Perry and Dean Martinelli, who was managing his ranch on Martinelli Road, which has a very long stretch of Green Valley Creek. They were very sad to see their, you know, area be so degraded, where the kids, they could run and romp and play in the creek all year long and see the wildlife and the fish. And at some point, monies became available to, you know, study and look at how to sort of fix some of the problems. You know, it was grazing, it was agriculture, and it was domestic wells and commercial wells. So they really get all the credit for having brought some sort of attention to Green Valley Creek. There was an outfit, I think it was called Dragonfly.
When was that, do you think?
Yeah, it was probably around the early 2000s.
Oh, okay.
When it was really hot and heavy with lots of plantings going on. They were, you know, anchoring logs and things into the creek to create a more complex habitat for the fish to hide, to oversummer and rear the young. So, and it was a lot of public money. You know, you think the public would have an invested interest in it. And that continued for a long time. But when the agencies went away and the professionals went away, it was left to the amateurs. And basically one man to take care of this whole restoration project and keep it alive.
Wow.
So we asked him, you know, what could we do to help? And so a handful of us started meeting down there every Sunday morning, like church. It was our church.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous, but it definitely was not going to do very well, just left on its left to its own devices with, you know, still some cattle roaming around, some horses roaming around, and basically one man trying to do it all.
Wow.
So Dean and Cam get a lot of credit. We began to try to learn as much as we could about how to take care of redwood trees, alders, a few buckeyes. We put cages around them to protect them from, you know, deer. And it just was incredibly interesting and rewarding. We met the greatest people, Susan and Tom and John and Richard. We and my husband, Larry, we worked and enjoyed it immensely. Yeah. And today, there is a riparian forest in that section of the creek with a lot of support from the Dean and Teresa Martinelli, fabulous people. But you go and you look and you say, wow, it's still in the summer. It's struggling so much. It gets algae. Yeah. We've seen fish with growth on them. They're banging themselves against the gravel, trying to get the parasites off them because it's hot. So we have a long way to go. And we worked really hard. There was a lot of money. So we need to look at that and learn.
Right. It isn't just you and your group and locals. There are radiating circles of government bodies and local and to the state and federal. Can you give an idea of whose fingers are stuck in this water?
Sure, I'll try to do that. Yeah, there's a wonderful bunch of scientists roaming around the watershed a lot. This is called the California Sea Grant Monitoring Program. They are helping to sort of count and keep track of the population of the salmon and steelhead, and I think they also do Chinook. When the hatchery has fish available to restock the streams and try to sort of reestablish these populations, you know, they look for areas that are the best habitat, the best possibility these little fish will survive. So the monitoring program, California Sea Grant, has been out in these creeks. Every morning they go out and they count. They take pictures, and they've been fabulous trying to sort of tell us, you know, more about the bottlenecks, what I call the Bermuda Triangle. There's a Bermuda Triangle somewhere in the Green Valley Creek Atascadero watershed where fish just go to die.
Huh.
And they are really focused on trying to solve that mystery. So that's an important group. And then there's also the Goldridge Resource Conservation District has some very experienced biologists, John Green in particular, who is working with landowners to help them build some little off-stream storage so mm-hmm. that they do not have to take water from the creek in the summer or even from the creekside wells, but they can store a little winter rain to meet their needs, which is going to be a huge and important part of the solution.
Which some of the berms that you made were part, was that part of that to stop the flow into the creek?
I think actually the berms were there to protect crops. Yeah, or even properties or homes maybe. And so it ended up kind of maximizing where you could cultivate without worrying about floods. Yeah, so and so they sometimes become an issue. They may trap this fish outside of the bounds of where the – and so that they can perish because they can't get back to the creek because of the berms in a lower flow situation. You know, working with people who have an interest in helping, and basically we need everybody in the watershed to help. And I have some numbers I can give out later that people can call so we can really turn this around. We can really improve the terroir of all the grapes and wines that come from our watershed. So we can really be proud of the wine that's coming out of our little part of the world. So that's another group, the RCD, the Goldridge RCD. And then there's the Department of Fish and Wildlife. They're incredible. They do monitoring. They help set up devices and gauges so that we can kind of figure out, you know, areas that are good and areas that are suffering, areas that maybe could benefit from some restoration. I'm more of an advocate of acquisitions and conservation, preservation. Rather than going in after everything's ruined, let's see if we can identify areas that we can preserve and conserve. So if anybody has property that they're willing to sort of set aside to benefit, you know, these noble salmon and these incredible species, we have numbers that you can call to sort of inquire about that, investigate, and see if it's right for you. And I think the last group I probably would mention is the National Marine Fisheries Administration, NOAA Fisheries, National Marine Fisheries Service, NIMS. Wonderful biologist. They have a lot of knowledge and are, you know, tracking. It is their duty to protect and restore fisheries. And so, you know, they have a tall order. And they are, you know, doing some of the science and bringing that to, you know, help. And the county is also an actor. The county controls land use. And so that's a pretty big nut. And it does tend to sort of create, I don't know, it would be some sort of a barrier to us really solving this problem. They're also, of course, they have a huge opportunity to help with the solving the problem. So they control land use and they control well permit issuance.
So it's like the Ag Commission, commissioner and things like that?
Yes, the county Ag Commissioner does control, you know, ags that are zoned lands that are zoned agriculture, and then the county has, you know, purview over more residential and commercial and other businesses, generally speaking. But if you want a well permit, you know, you can go to the county office, pay a fee, and get your well permit. They're going to be concerned about the casings, but they're not concerned about how much water you're going to be taking. Is it going to hurt your neighbor? Is it going to hurt the creek or endangered species?
Wow.
You're not supposed to hurt endangered species. You're not to contribute to their harm. So we are really trying to encourage a county to revisit their well ordinance. It's a groundwater, as we know, is connected to stream flows and surface waters. So if you're got 100 straws out there near creeks pumping water out of the ground, it is affecting and hurting streams and critical habitat. So the county has a really important role, and we're you know, always looking for leaders at the county who will kind of understand the problem and, you know, jump in with both feet and say, we can solve this. Right. Green Valley Creek begins in Sonoma County. It ends in Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. We can do this. So those are the main players. There's other nonprofits that are interested in helping. I know the Atascadero Green Valley Creek Watershed Council, run by John Roberts, is always out there trying to improve conditions, pick up garbage every, you know, fall before it runs into our watershed. There's a lot of great energy.
The old laws that have governed this for many years, now there's some things are changing.
Right.
Can you explain what's on the horizon?
Right. Well, you think that the Endangered Species Act would be enough to protect these endangered species. We do have critical habitat designations, but all the watercourses in Sonoma County are listed as impaired for something. They're impaired for sediment or nutrients or high temperatures. Mm-hmm. So we have a long ways to go, and we like to put ourselves out there as sustainable. I mean, there's this very, you know, aggressive campaign to brand Sonoma County as sustainable and green, but I don't think you can achieve that if all your watercourses are listed, officially listed as impaired. I would love us to be able to claim with some accuracy that we are environmentally sustainable in our crops and our, you know, practices and our planning policies are all sustainable. But I think we can't really do that yet.
What, 95% of the wineries in the area are not organic?
Yes. You can't count on the market to change that necessarily. I mean, we definitely need to bring some rules into place. And so one of the recent rules is called the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. It's a state law that finally basically recognizes and codifies the fact that groundwater is connected to surface flows. Mm-hmm. It kind of came around because of the drought. I mean, most states recognize this, acknowledge this, and regulate groundwater pumping, but California was really last to do that. It's still been the Wild West out here, and even in Sonoma County. Now the state has said we have to get our arms around it, and we have to start measuring, understanding, and protecting the groundwater resources. The Central Valley's sinking. Our streams are going dry earlier. Coho and Steelhead don't have a lot of margin for error. And when
imagine just an inch or two of difference in height of water can be life and death, I imagine, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, they can survive on a small amount of water if it's oxygenated and it's clean and it's cold and there's trees. However, not in a dry gravel bed. And that's where many of them perish, just even despite all our efforts, because we are not regulating water. And I know we can, and I'm anxious to work on it. And SGMA, this Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, is a step in the right direction. There is a little problem, a little hitch when it comes to Green Valley Creek, and we're working on it. But the creek is part of a geology issue, which, again, I'm not a geologist, but it has a formation under it. It's called the Wilson Grove Formation, and it's large, and it's a water-bearing formation. And it is not being fully protected by SGMA. At first, it was going to be protected because Green Valley Creek is the highest priority critical habitat stream. Huh. It's been the subject of emergency regulations to keep water in the creek in the summer.
Wow.
The state has said, you know, we need to know what you're taking out of the creek, and we were going to try to get our arms around it so we can get, you know, do a mass balance analysis, and we need to make sure these fish that are protected, state and federally, make it through the summer. So Green Valley Creek was listed as a medium priority stream because it's part of the Wilson Grove Formation, and the Santa Rosa Plain Groundwater Management Agency was prepared to deal with the Wilson Grove in its entirety and manage pumping and groundwater issues. For some reason, just recently, the Wilson Formation has been kind of gerrymandered.
Oh, no.
And the upshot of it all is that now Green Valley Creek under SGMA is now going to be considered and categorized as low priority or very low priority. Huh. And again, this is after a huge amount of public interest, public monies and volunteerism and critical habitat, critically listed species. And now, for some unknown reason, the watershed has now been downgraded.
So we don't even know why. It was just an arbitrary decision they handed down?
There were three, I believe it was a Marin County, a Santa Rosa, and maybe a Sebastopol, were trying to figure out how they wanted to deal with groundwater. And they submitted some plan to the Department of Water Resources at the state saying they wanted this part, this part, and this part, but that left Green Valley Creek and Atascadero Creek out of the picture. So there's no entity to regulate it, and more and more and more well permits are being issued. Wow. I don't get it. I mean, respectfully, what are we doing?
Yeah, there's a disconnect.
The groundwater management and sustaining the groundwater and Green Valley Creek is downgraded. So it's very odd and absurd. And I'm not the only one that thinks that. The scientists who have been working their hearts out to save these endangered species, recover them from the brink of extinction, under incredible odds, you know, resistance and transients, you know, water impoundments, the Warm Springs Dam, we still have these fish. And a lot of people care about these fish, and they care about Green Valley Creek watershed. So we're trying to, you know, let people know that this is really unacceptable. Green Valley Creek is not a low priority. It's not a very low priority. It is the highest priority stream. Yeah. So we need to get that decision reversed, and we think that's a doable thing and that it was a mistake in the first place to have it downgraded. So it's just something that needs to be rectified.
Who can make that rectification?
Well, that's going to be the Department of Water Resources. There's a fellow named Craig Altair at the DWR in Sacramento. And there's also a woman, Carla Nemeth, who's also at the Department of Water Resources. They may be unaware of the problem that has been created. And so we've been trying to bring this to their attention. We've tried to bring it to Senator McGuire's attention. The federal agents are aware of it, and the state wildlife agency is aware of it and are not... they're contesting it.
Okay.
So there's
Has it got to a court situation yet with the judge doing any declaration on it? Or?
It has not. It would be kind of an interesting situation where you have a policy that could actually harm listed species, and that is an outcome nobody wants, and we don't need to go to court over it. We just need to use common sense.
Right. Yeah, especially with all the money and effort that's been taken on it over many years.
Exactly.
To just throw that away, it just seems absurd.
Exactly.
Fascinating, this fight just to keep a protected species alive. It's amazing. You still have to fight every inch of the way for that, even with state and federal protections. That is incredible. So this downgrading, what will that really do? What is that impact if that goes forward?
Well, I think the immediate impact is that the watershed just won't get the protections and the management that it really has needed for a long time. And, you know, as I said before, the county's well policy is just extremely permissive. They basically do need to consider the public trust, but unfortunately they haven't gotten there yet. And the public trust means, you know, considering the impacts on shared resources like our salmon and our groundwater and surface flows. It's not going to be managed. It's not going to be regulated. It's not going to be protected.
Wow.
For the foreseeable future. And there was such a great opportunity to have it included because it is a part of the Wilson Grove. The impacts of well drilling in the Wilson Grove are probably going to impact Green Valley Creek. So why is it kind of the forlorn child? I don't know.
Exactly.
It needs to be changed, and we're hopeful that people will see the common sense in that and the importance of it. I did want to talk a little bit about the outreach efforts that the California Sea Grant organization is doing. They're making outreach to all the landowners in the watershed. They would love to chat with people who have access to the creek because they have important science they need to do. They're wonderful people to work with. There's Sarah Nossman Pierce had a great article in the Gazette. I think it was in January. She works with Nick Bauer and Mariska Obadinsky, and just wonderful people, full of heart and full of energy and full of love, and they want to talk to people in the watershed to, you know, figure out how we can figure out where the fish are going when they are released into the creek. They released over 3,000 salmon into the creek.
Wow.
1 year, was it 2017, I believe it was. Of those 3,000 or so, they were able to mark 600, these little tiny fish. They marked them so that they could track them. And by the time they got down to the last monitoring device, they call it a pit tag monitor, when it got down near the end of the watershed and they were ready to go out into the river, they could only count two.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's some variables in there that, you know, might account for the loss of some of the baby fish, but from over 3,000 to just two making it to the river, it's pretty sad. So there is a Bermuda Triangle there, and they want to unravel the mystery. The number that you can call if you want to help out and get involved and learn some more about your creek, you can call 687-0996. You can talk to Sarah or Nick. They would love to chat with you about an opportunity to contribute to the recover of our coho salmon and steelhead trout. John Green at the Goldridge RCD, can be reached at 823-5244. I hope those guys don't mind me giving out their numbers, but really good people, easy to work with. They might have resources that they can offer to help really revive our Green Valley Creek watershed and Atascadero watershed. And I just learned recently that Redwood Creek and Honeave Creek are actually tributaries, I guess you would call them, of Green Valley Creek. And that's just an amazing, and they are good habitat. But the fish have to be able to get up there, be able to survive the summer. The summer is really critical. The summers are getting hotter. The demands on the creeks are getting larger. So we just need to sort of reimagine, you know. And I know there's some leaders, even in the industries that are enjoying the watershed, the commercial businesses, they're leaders in those organizations that I know care. I think it's John Nagel and Doug McElroy and other people who really do care. And we just need people like them to say, we can do this. This is not beyond us, and we need to do it. And, and we can be very proud to get success in this area. So I encourage people who have land, large land holdings, to sort of step up and work with us.
Yeah, well, that's it. There's what over 100 wineries in, and it says I think it's one of the smallest appellates there is. And it's got over 100 wineries, so it's pretty dense. You'd think they would want, I mean, it's all about water for wine. You'd think they would want some sort of some circle there. Have you had much input from the wineries along the way there? Are they just turning away, or are they interested in what you're doing?
Well, there are some good actors and there's some bad actors. I know during the drought, a couple of the wineries that had vineyards, I guess, had big lakes. They'd gotten their lakes full and they weren't really needing the water for their processes. So they were willing to release some of that water to the creek. So those are important things. It's kind of small, but when you're at the you're desperate, every drop matters. And I know there's other people who can do it and who can do more. We're encouraging, you know, the leaders to reach out to their counterparts and invite rules and limits, and let's live within the limits. Let's really be sustainable. Let's have, you know, year-round flows. Let's not just go with branding and marketing. Let's really do this, and so we can have a meaningful label that does accurately reflect what's going on in Green Valley Creek, that we are environmentally sustainable.
Exactly, and certainly our efforts. I mean, I see pictures where you know, in open expanses where there's no trees, you're hanging, you know, tarpaulins over to give some shade. I mean, really, it's desperate measures you're doing to help them. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah. I would be embarrassed if I wasn't really, you know, committed to working this and making it better.
Yeah.
We pretty much do whatever it takes, and we would hope that most people feel the same way. This is our time, and we can do this. So I'm excited, and there's a lot of good people available to help. So I encourage people to reach out to me or to these experts. Let's solve this and be really proud and be a part of history.
Indeed. So could you repeat some of the contact addresses
yes.
for yourselves and others involved?
Yes. John Green, who's at the Gold Ridge Resource Conservation District, he is currently working on helping people do storage, water storage, to help them keep their demands low in the summer on the creek. And Sierra and Brittany also work at the RCD. And their number is 823-5244. And then Sarah and Nick are with the California Sea Grant Monitoring Program. And so they have their, you know, mind around all the details. And so you can ask them lots of questions. And they are reaching out to everybody in the watershed for access and information and help. And they have tons of information to share. And their number is at 687-0996. I think people do care, and I think people want to know how to help. And so we just encourage them to not give up and to just pay attention and just be real sensitive to water use and what do they call that? Vote with your dollar.
That's
and
right.
It's not always easy, but you just do the best you can.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you very much, Kimberly Burr.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
The Green Valley Creek Restoration Group. Thank you so much.
Thank you.